Fran fam, what's going on? Listen, before we start this podcast episode, I have a very, very small favor to ask of each and every single one of you guys. I appreciate the support that all of you have been showing for the podcast up until this point, but we want to try and get these episodes out to as many people as possible. And how we do that on the audio side is by leaving a review and dropping a 5-star rating. So if you've been a consistent listener of the pod, please, before we get this episode started, it only takes a couple of seconds, leave a review. It could be a 2-word, 3-word, 4-word review, or just leave a rating. Do something to get the word out so that we can get the Marvin Francois Show to more listeners moving forward. Outside of that, love you guys, appreciate the support, but without further ado, let's get into this episode.
Not only do you want to know what type of lending do they specialize in, mm-hmm. you also want to know, like, okay, if you do offer multiple products, do you use the same bureau for each individual product? Because you can go to PNC, for example. They're primarily an Experian-based bank.
Yeah.
You go for personal credit cards, they're going to pull Experian. You go for business credit cards, they're going to pull Experian.
Mm-hmm.
But whenever you go for a business line of credit, which is a different product, they're going to pull your Equifax.
Mm.
So whenever you're going in and you're auditing the bank and you're getting, you know, your funding sequence and credit stacking, et cetera,
mm-hmm.
you want to make sure that you ask these questions to understand, does this particular institution fit you in your funding journey? Because if your Equifax is not strong, you shouldn't be trying to get a business line of credit from PNC. And then sometimes you'll be asking the relationship manager these questions and they won't even know. So with us, and we have access to a lot of, you know, data points, a lot of good information from our funding clients, is we gather all of this information. That's how we're able to literally put it out into the world for other people to know.
Hey, business owners, what if I told you that for just 90 cents a day, you could get access to $45,000 in business funding? I just launched my Credit Mastery community, where inside you're going to be getting exclusive access to our in-depth training program worth tens of thousands of dollars that's going to teach you the exact strategies you need on how to restore your credit and on how to properly structure your business. You're also gonna be getting access to a financial consultant with over a decade of experience in the funding space that's gonna be working with you to reach your financial goals in half the time it would take if you were to do it on your own. And we're gonna be providing you 2 coaching calls a week where we're gonna teach you the exact banks that you need to go to get access to anywhere between $50,000 to $100,000 in business funding. This is the same community that helped Pat access $50,000 in funding from Chase, help Alvin get $8,000 in funding from Amex, help Matt boost his credit score by over 150 points, and help Donna delete a bankruptcy from her credit report. So if you're interested, click the link above or below the video to join now, and we'll see you on the other side of success. Let's go, family.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Marvin Francois Show, your number one source for all things business, finance, and investing. And today, is a very special day because our guest today is a father, husband, investor, credit coach, mentor, and business funding strategist extraordinaire. He's the owner and founder of Reinvented Consulting Mentorship Group, where he's helped both consumers and business owners unlock hundreds of thousands of dollars in funding. To date, he's been able to access $1.5 million in funding and counting for himself, and is providing free value information on how he's been able to do so for viewers just like you. When it comes to all things credit, our guest today cannot be beat, because he ensures that when it comes to the game he gives, everybody eats, which is why his success in the space is not coincidence, it's confirmation. Ladies and gentlemen, from Seneca, South Carolina, I'm here with the one, the only, my guy, Mr. Dub Washington. What's going on, family?
How are you? My brother, it's a pleasure to be on the show, man.
Listen, man, it's a pleasure to have you on. I'm here, ladies and gentlemen, with funding royalty, the one and the only himself, man. I'm extremely excited we were able to make this happen. First and foremost, how are you today, family?
I'm blessed. Blessed beyond measure. Can't complain at all, man. You know, anytime you see me, man, it's going to be positive energy.
For sure.
Just
for sure.
Upbeat.
1,000%, man. 1,000%. Extremely excited to have you on. Obviously, you and I have been connected for quite some time. And there are a lot of people, if they know, if you know me, you can't not know Dub. And if you know Dub, you can't not know me. It goes both ways. So to be able to bring you on the platform in real time is truly a blessing, man, because I love what you're about. You know, we were talking about it off camera, mm-hmm. the impact that you've had on not just a couple thousand, but literally hundreds of thousands of people, and putting them in position to access funding that's changed their life in the course of their family's lives as well. To bring you on here to give the game to my people and so many others, I'm ready, brother. I'm ready. You ready to go?
Let's eat. I hope they said that grace, man.
Listen, man, I'm excited to get into it. So we about to get into the game, of course, and break things down for those who are unfamiliar. But I want to take a second and a minute to get those who don't know you to know you. So I did an okay job introducing you, but nobody knows Dub Washington better than the man himself. So for those who are unfamiliar, let them know who exactly is Dub Washington.
Dub Washington, man, I'm from a small town, Seneca, South Carolina, as you say, where we gravel roads and barefoot.
You know what
I'm saying? But beyond that, like you said, bro, the most important thing is I'm a father.
Mm.
I wouldn't be where I'm at today for the woman that made me a father and the kids that made me a father.
Mm.
So without them, man, I do everything for them. And that's pretty much like what I stand for. You know, I'm family based. Anybody who follow my content, you know, you always see the kids.
Yes,
I got three boys, so you can imagine how this household
is. Amen. No sleep in your house.
None. But outside of that, man, I come from humble beginnings. I recently, or at that time recently, came across financial literacy while I was driving a forklift.
Okay. Interesting. Talk a little bit about that. How did that happen?
So I'm in a warehouse, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm listening to YouTube. I was big on podcasts. Mm-hmm. $1 Million Worth of Game came on. I was always listening to him for different things, skipping Shannon, just other podcasts, et cetera.
Right.
And they had our mentor on there, Marcus, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I seen that. I heard it first. I'm driving a forklift, pulling pallets down off the shelves and everything. And I heard them talk about credit. And I'm just assuming that somebody was in a suit. And, you know, typically what we think of whenever we see people talking about credit.
Yep.
I'm hearing it, and I was like, I got to put a face to this voice.
Mm-hmm.
So I went back to my desk, I sat down, and then I heard him breaking down credit.
Mm.
And at that time, I'm just solely operating off of cash.
Mm.
You got access to capital, you can do whatever you want to do in the form of cash at that time. And I heard the information, it blew me away, and I made the first investment of like
$497.
Mm. The scariest decision that I had ever made was spending money with somebody that I'd never seen before, only online.
Mm-hmm.
Scary.
Mm-hmm.
But furthermore, I joined the mentorship, and that's kind of where everything started at. But if it hadn't have been for me at that time wanting better for myself and my kids,
mm-hmm.
I wouldn't be in the position that I am in.
Mm-hmm.
So it's more so literally, who was Dub Washington? Family, God-fearing man. Mm-hmm. That's what it boiled down to.
I love it. So fast, you're in a position where you're working forklifts, you're moving pallets. You stumble across, our mentor, shout out to my guy, Marcus Barney, one of the legends in the space. Fast forward from an investment that you made, you have now become one of the premier names, the premier figures. When we talk about funding, Dub's name has to come up, or we're just not having a conversation.
Got to.
You understand? Talk about what, from that investment, what you've been able to do, not just for yourself, but also for your community as well. Because, I said it off camera, man, the individuals that you've been able to impact, I'm seeing people posting $50,000 approvals, $75,000, and all of them is coming from your mentorship group. Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, man. So it was one of those things to where God always puts in you what he's meant for you to do.
1,000%.
Sometimes we may, if you look at me 3 years ago, I would never be able to get on camera and talk about anything.
Mm-hmm.
And I was a sports fanatic.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? But I wouldn't be able to jump on camera and have the aura that I have now.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that I'm making a small contribution, even though I've helped thousands of entrepreneurs and business owners access a lot of capital. But just putting my gift out to the world to make a better overall economy, especially for the small black business owners, bro.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of like what I tag into more so, is that just making a goodwill gesture to the earth. And most of my free game be mentorship material, bro.
Listen. I'm going to put that to the test here on this podcast because, listen, man, I've had a lot of people come on here and give $50,000 of funding game, $100,000, $250,000. We've even gone as far as $300,000.
Mm-hmm.
But when we talk about 1.5 in 24 months, that's a different conversation.
That's
a very, very different conversation. I said, listen, we got to come on here and really give the blueprint, because I've talked about some funding strategies. I want to get high level on this conversation.
Okay, let's eat.
All right, so let's really break down the game behind what you've been able to do when we talk about building a profile and putting ourselves in position to get access to over $1 million in funding. From what I understand, you have a very, very, very dope methodology in terms of how you've been able to do it. And I really want to break this down on here. Most business owners know about a business funding sequence.
Mm-hmm.
You talk about a relationship sequence that you've been able to put together that helps you get access to the 1.5. One of the things you talk about in that relationship sequence, if I'm correct, is auditing the banks.
Come on.
Which I don't hear most people talk about. We won't get a high level on here. Talk a little bit about what does it mean to audit the banks when we're going about our relationship sequence to get access to this funding.
All right, auditing the bank. I'm gonna have to coin that term right there, man.
That's
I hope nobody ain't got it. But auditing the bank is whenever we go to the bank, we want access to capital, whether it be personal funding and or business funding.
Mm-hmm.
The bank is gonna pull our credit report.
Yes, sir.
They have access to, you know, anything that's on there, whether it's closed accounts
mm-hmm.
or active accounts.
Right.
But when was the last time that you went and audited the bank?
Mm.
Meaning you pulled their version of their FICO.
Mm.
So each bank is going to have what they call a CAMELS rating. Right?
Say that again?
CAMELS.
Like with the animal?
Yes.
CAMEL. And that's an acronym or is that just?
It's an acronym.
Okay, CAMELS rating. I never do this.
So right? The CAMELS rating, like we have a FICO. We have, you know, you want to take a good installment account.
Okay.
You want to have a mixture of accounts, age of accounts, late payment history.
Right.
All of those things, right? Or payment history, rather.
Right.
The bank have what you call CAMELS. So, and you want to break them down into different sectors as well. So the C is for capital adequacy.
Okay.
How much capital does this bank have on hand?
Mm.
If they have a lot of inflows coming in, and you can monitor their deposit ratio over the past year.
Mm-hmm.
You always want to look at the asset growth year over year with these different banks, because the more money coming in, the more money coming into this actual institution, bank or credit union,
mm-hmm.
the more they can lend out. The bank operates off fractional reserve lending. So they're not lending their money out. They're lending my money to you, your money to me, and they're charging a spread in between.
Right.
A is for asset quality.
Mm.
What is the asset quality of this bank?
Mm-hmm.
What's the asset quality? A lot of the entrepreneurs are going to personal banks to get business funding, and it doesn't make any sense.
All right, let me sit up here. Go ahead. Go ahead.
They're going and they're saying, okay, well, I'm in Navy Federal.
Mm-hmm.
We love Navy Federal. Navy Federal is a great credit union. But why would you want to go to Navy Federal for a business credit card?
Mm-hmm.
Not saying that you shouldn't. To some people, if you can't get access to more capital, you
mm-hmm.
know that you got to, you know, make your move. But whenever you audit the bank, you understand what's in your funding sequence.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going, me particular, and where I'm at, I like 0% APR funding.
Mm-hmm.
One of the features on business credit cards should be 0% APR for at least, you know, 6, 12, 18, up to 24 months.
Mm-hmm.
Navy Federal doesn't offer that. So whenever I say the asset quality, what does this bank specialize in? Navy Federal is a personal funding bank.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they offer business products, but it's more tailored towards the personal side.
Mm.
You also want to look at management. That's the M.
Mm-hmm.
Man, who's the CEO of this company? What has he done before and other? Has he ran multiple credit unions? Has he worked his way up to only work with tier one banks?
Mm-hmm.
Depending on the actual management of this credit union or bank, it's going to dictate what type of lending that they specialize in.
Mm.
Earnings for my stock traders. At the end of the day, each one of these institutions are inside of the bank ETF, which is traded on the stock market.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to look at the earnings of the bank as well. Liquidity. How much liquidity do they have on hand
mm-hmm.
to lend out?
Mm-hmm.
And then you got S for sensitivity.
Mm-hmm.
So how sensitive? Some of the community and regional banks, they've done a lot of lending post 2008, during after that financial crash, and they lent it more so towards commercial real estate.
Right.
As we know now, COVID came around, commercial real estate is not doing too good.
Right.
So the asset portfolio is not up to speed.
Mm-hmm.
That's just a little something, man.
We're not even warmed up yet. So my question is, when it comes to figuring out, is there a specific resource that we can use or go to get the CAMELS? It's called the CAMELS score.
CAMELS, yeah.
Or are there multiple, are there different resources for each of the respective acronyms that we can use to kind of audit the bank?
So with audit the bank, you go to iBankNet. That's going to have a lot of good information on there. iBankNet, and then
okay.
you could go into the actual financial analysis of each institution.
And you say it again, iBankNet?
iBankNet.
And this is a website that we can go to that pretty much helps us to get. Does it give us all of the letters in the CAMELS score or just most of it to where we can have a good idea of what's going on with it?
Correct. Yes. Also, depositaccounts.com. That's another one. Depositaccounts.com.
Okay.
That's another great resource that you use to be able to look at the year-over-year asset growth.
Okay, got you. Now, you said something that was very key before, and you actually beat me to the punch on this. You talked about one big mistake that most business owners are making. They want business funding, but they're going to personal funding institutions, or they
mm-hmm.
want personal funding, but they're going to business funding institutions. For you personally, what exactly are you looking for outside of the CAMELS score to be able to identify what type of lending that this financial institution specializes in that we can use as well?
Simply looking at the products that they offer.
Okay.
Now, I'm not saying that you shouldn't go to banks. It would be more ideal to go to a bank that offers both personal and business funding, because you could start on that personal side building
right.
with them and then graduate to the business side.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm always going to look at how many products do you offer.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you offer more than one product, you have a possibility for me to get more than one credit card from you.
1,000%. Okay.
So that's what I'm looking for is what's the max exposure. We're going to jump into all of that.
We just getting started. Okay,
yes,
so,
yes.
Okay, got you. So then now another thing I've also heard you talk about too, and you slightly touched on it, not all banks are created equal, right? Mm-hmm. There are different types of financial institutions that are out there. Could you talk a little bit about what those different types are? You mentioned one of them being regional banks, but I believe there's like five or six others. Could you break that down for us?
So national banks, these are banks that's going to operate, and I want to say at least, 40 states, I want to say.
Okay.
So if you operate in at least 40 states, you're qualified to be a national bank.
Mm-hmm.
The regional banks are only going to be offered in certain regions, like Truist, for example, mm-hmm. Synovus. They operate solely within the Southeast.
Okay.
And then you're going to have the community banks, which are mainly the credit unions. And then how you get access. Listen, I got some game for you, man.
Let's break it down.
Some of the community banks will require that you join a certain institution or you be part of a certain, you know, working environment, et cetera. Stay within a certain zip code.
Right.
But if you want to bypass these geo restrictions, is what they're called.
Right.
They have a geographical footprint. How you bypass it, you can join the American Consumer Council.
Mm.
Whenever you join the American Consumer Council, they have ties with a lot of these different small community banks, credit unions, et cetera. Go on there, you use promo code Andrews.
Mm-hmm.
You get access to American Consumer Council. You should get a certificate right away.
Mm.
And then whenever you go to open up a checking account, they're going to ask you, are you a part of an institution to join for membership? Once you give them that promo code, Andrews, you have the American Consumer Council certificate. From there, you can bypass these geo restrictions to get access to the community banks, small credit unions that you will have access to that I wouldn't have access to being in. I'm in Georgia and you're in New York.
Interesting. Interesting. Have you ever, I think there's another good one, too, that we could give to the audience as well. Have you heard of a organization called the Financial Fitness Association?
Talk to me.
Come on now. So with the Financial Fitness Association, it's similar to ACC,
mm-hmm.
but with the Financial Fitness Association, I think you pay like $8 a year and it'll give you access to over 30 credit unions all across the country. So that's also another one as well that I recently found out about as well. I'm not sure. Have you personally? No, I haven't. So boom, there you go.
Give me some game.
Yeah. It's another one for the audience. So there you go. Okay. So you talked about different financial institutions. In your experience, because another thing that I'm seeing rising up within the financing space are fintech mm-hmm. financial institutions. Have you had any experience in trying to either form relationships with them, doing any auditing there? Is there, because they're still very new. Like most of us, everybody knows about Chase and even some regional banks. Credit unions are starting to get a lot more attention because of people like yourself and myself. But what exactly are you potentially seeing in the auditing of some of these fintech banks? Are there any institutions there that we can start looking into, or is it still too new for us to know?
It's still fairly new.
Okay.
If you can't get access to any other capital, mm-hmm. I recommend going through in a sequence,
mm-hmm.
a tiered sequence,
okay.
by going to these national banks first and then credit unions and then working your way down to these fintech banks, simply because the interest rate in which they're going to provide you with is not, they can't keep up with the national banks.
Got you.
But if you can't get access to capital and you're trying to start your business journey, mm-hmm. Fund this new deal, et cetera, sometimes as long as you can get in the door,
mm-hmm.
you're good to go.
I love it.
But me personally, I wouldn't start off with fintech banks. I would recommend going through a national bank. Therefore, you can build out this deposit relationship with them to maximize the capital later on down the road.
That in and of itself is a really good segue, because going back to your methodology of the relationship sequence, we talked about auditing the bank. I know the next step after that is the opening of the account and the nurturing of the account, mm-hmm. which I think a lot of people think they understand how to do it, but there are certain mistakes business owners are probably making that they don't even know about. How do we actually go about that step of the relationship sequence and making sure that we're doing the nurturing of the account properly? Because everything we're doing is to set the foundation for the funding. So we want to make sure we do it right. So what is that step supposed to look like?
Step number one, whenever you do go and open this account, a lot of people think that if you put a lot of money or you fund the opening deposit with a lot of money, you're going to get access to capital.
Mm-hmm.
Everything should be done in 90-day increments.
Mm-hmm.
That's how the banks measure mm-hmm. their internal ratings.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of entrepreneurs and business owners don't even understand. They think because they come in with an 800 credit score
mm-hmm.
that they're going to get access to capital from this institution whenever each bank, each credit union have their own internal grading, mm-hmm. which is your internal score.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of coming in making a large deposit all at once, what you should be doing is going in and building a deposit relationship.
Mm-hmm.
You want to do this over the course of 90 days. And even if your business is not generating income, you're making deposits into this account, mm-hmm. and it looks as if your business is profitable.
Mm-hmm.
So I would recommend doing that. I have a 3-5-90 method.
Break that down.
You go to 3 to 5 banks every 90 days mm-hmm. per bureau. Mm-hmm. And that's whenever you auditing the banks, you're going on credit pulls, you're going on, you know, bank branch locator, you're going on MyFICO forums. A lot of these great resources that we use, mm-hmm. you want to go there to see who they pull from within your region. Mm-hmm. So once you understand who they pull from, you need to categorize, you know, let's do 15 banks per bureau. That's going to be 45. Mm-hmm. These are your next 45 banks over the next 12 months that you should be building with based on where they pull from. You get your 15 banks from Experian, 15 from TransUnion, 15 from Equifax, and then you categorize them in, okay, I'm going to go and build my relationship with these three for this 90 days mm-hmm. all the way down. Mm-hmm. And $500 a week.
That's it. Just a little, just $500.
$2,000 the next month. Mm-hmm. And you're just building up, and it looks as if your business is profitable. And your business could not be bringing in any money at all, but you're just taking the money from another account, mm-hmm. moving it here, and making it look like it's profitable.
Could you quickly say again those three resources that we could use to find the banks? You said Credit Pulls. Is creditpulls.com?
Yep, Credit Pulls database.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And what's the other two? You said Credit Pulls. I think you said Credit mm-hmm. Boards.
Credit Boards is another one. And MyFICO Forums.
MyFICO Forums. Okay.
That's a great.
Another one I also found out about recently, have you heard about a website called helpmebuildcredit.com?
Yes, sir.
Come on now. So Help Me Build Credit is also another one where what consumers, business owners like, not only do they show you where certain banks pull from, they also mm-hmm. show you certain data points that they're also looking for as well. You know what I'm saying? I'm trying to keep up with you, Dub. You know what we do a little funny. We do just a little bit, just a smidget. Okay, good. This is good. So now you said something just now. You talked about internal rating. I don't want to just skip past that. I really want to break that down for the audience because once again, this is all about putting ourselves in the best position mm-hmm. to have the best relationships with the best banks for the most amount of funding possible. Could you dive a little bit deeper into what an internal rating is for banks and what that scoring model looks like so that a lot of the audience can have a full context on what that is going into this relationship with the bank?
Got you. So internal bank rating is how they grade you on how much capital that you have sitting in your account.
Okay.
I always tell my mentees, other clients, et cetera, you want to have at least $10,000 sitting in that account, and you don't want to fund it right away. The reason why you don't want to fund that $10,000 right away and ask them for the money is that you haven't built that deposit relationship. You come in and drop one deposit in here, and you didn't do anything for, let's just say, 30 or 60 days. That account now becomes dormant.
Mm-hmm.
Internally, that's not good.
Right.
Just no activity.
Mm-hmm.
So whenever you go and you make small deposits and build that deposit relationship, you're doing it over a course of a 90-day period. So you want to get to at least $10,000 or so. Any more would be ideal.
Right.
But you want to get to a minimum of $10,000. And what that's going to do is put you in that low five category.
When you say low five, what do you mean by
that? It's the grading system.
Okay, got you.
So with a low five, that's just going to basically put you in where the banks see you as. Based on the fractional reserve lending system, the banks love to see at least $10,000 in these accounts.
Got you.
This is going to be a sweet spot to maximize the amount of funding. Anything over $20,000-$30,000, mm-hmm. it wouldn't make sense to put it all in one account. You should disperse it into multiple different banks. So not only are you building with one institution, you're building with two other institutions at the same time, which the 3-5-90 method, mm-hmm. 3 to 5 banks every 90 days
yes, sir.
Per bureau, instead of putting $30,000 in one account, you could go and put it in three different accounts and you build with three different banks. If they offer multiple products, which we'd like to see,
mm-hmm.
you could also double dip on certain things come and maximize the funding. Listen, we get into it now.
We get into it. So we know how much funding we want to put in. Is the internal rating score a score that we're able to access, or is that something that banks would give us access to, or are there resources we could use to find out where we stand with certain banks?
It's going to vary per institution.
Okay.
One way to find out what your internal score is simply by going and applying for a product. You can go to Navy Federal right now, lock your TransUnion because that's who they're going to pull from.
Mm-hmm.
Apply for a personal credit card.
Mm-hmm.
If you already have an account with them, they're going to deny you because they're not going to be able to pull your consumer report.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever you get a letter in the mail, you go to that back page and then you have your internal rating there with Navy mm-hmm. Federal. And then you could go use different forms, boards, et cetera, to see what's Navy Federal's grading scale. You may be a 542
mm-hmm.
out of 600. So it's going to vary per institution.
Hey, business owners, what if I helped you get access to $50,000 in business funding for $1 a day? Would you be interested? Well, inside of my Credit Mastery community, you're going to be getting exclusive access to our in-depth training program that's worth tens of thousands of dollars to give you the exact strategies you need on how to restore your credit and on how to properly structure your business. You're also going to be getting access to a financial consultant with over a decade of experience in the funding space that'll help you reach your financial goals in half the time it would take if you were to do it on your own. And we're going to be giving you 2 coaching calls every week that'll give you the exact banks you need to go to get access to $50,000 to $100,000 in business funding. This is the same community that helped Pat get access to $50,000 in funding from Chase, helped Alvin get access to $8,000 in funding from Amex, helped Matt boost his personal credit score by 150 points, and helped Donna delete a bankruptcy from her credit report. So if you're interested, click the link above or below this video to join now, and we'll see you on the other side of success. Let's go, family.
I want to take a quick detour here because this is also something I've heard you talk about as well. And I get questions. I don't know if you get questions about it daily, but it's definitely something I get questions about daily that also affects people's, most consumers and business owners' ability to be able to go out and form relationships with these banks, and that's check systems.
Mm-hmm.
Could you speak a little bit to, for those who don't know, what check systems is and what role does it play in our process of this relationship sequence we're going through to build a strong relationship with these banks?
Check system is basically a secondary consumer reporting agency. So if you have done anything with, I don't even know, we should bring it up, but the crazy Chase situation.
We could talk about it because I done heard some stories. Yeah, talk about it.
So when people do things like that, if y'all not familiar, it was a Chase glitch going on. People were depositing just crazy things going on, right? And what happens is people think for $10,000, $20,000 come up, it's really not even a come up, but they think like, okay, I'm good. I'm going to not just do business with Chase anymore.
Right.
But Chase reports EWS, early warning services, check systems. These are all secondary consumer report agencies who's going to report your checking account history mm-hmm. to the other banks. So if you do something bad with Chase, like if somebody do something to me, mm-hmm. or vice versa, somebody do something. If anybody comes to me and they say, I don't like Marvin,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to say, what did you do?
Mm-hmm.
I don't even got to question anything. I'm just being honest.
Right.
So that's what happens in the banking sector is that, you know, people do fraudulent things, et cetera, and then you get flagged in check systems. But with it keeping the account history and different checking accounts that you've had, what they also do is report how many that you've opened. So if you go and try to open up with this 3590 method, you mm-hmm. go and try to open up 15 accounts all in one day, you're going to get flagged by check system because it looks as if you're doing something fraudulent. And all right. you're doing is just building. So you want to opt out if you can.
Now, let's say, because when it comes to check systems, and you also mentioned another great one, too, which is early warning systems as well. Let's say I had some things that happened in my past. I'm not really in the best standing when it comes to check systems. Is there a way that we can go back and get that cleaned up or get that fixed so that we look good in the eyes of other banks that we're going to be looking to open relationships with?
If you go and pull that check systems report,
mm-hmm.
you're going to get you about 80 or 90 pages of things that you've done back in college that you don't remember. So, yes, you can go through there. And it's a fairly simple process. You're just going through and just disputing it online.
Okay.
And that's not like, regular, mm-hmm. credit repair. This is a lot easier.
Right. Okay. One of the other things I've also learned from you, because I've been studying you very closely.
I appreciate it.
You talked about how within one bank, you could have a situation. I've heard of situations where like certain banks in certain regions pull from different credit reporting agencies. So if mm-hmm. If you live in this area and you apply to this bank, they may pull from a TransUnion. But if you live in another area in a different region, they may pull from a different credit reporting agency. One of the things I learned from you is that within a bank, they can actually have different credit products that also pull from different credit reporting agencies as well. Can you talk a little bit about that? Because when I heard that, I was like, really?
Listen, you've been doing some research.
I've been doing some homework.
I like it. So that's another part of auditing the bank that I talk about is not only do you want to know what type of lending do they specialize in, mm-hmm. you also want to know like, okay, if you do offer multiple products, do you use the same bureau for each individual product?
Mm-hmm.
Because you can go to PNC, for example. They're primarily an Experian-based bank.
Yeah.
You go for personal credit cards, they're going to pull Experian. You go for business credit cards, they're going to pull Experian.
Mm-hmm.
But whenever you go for a business line of credit, which is a different product, they're going to pull your Equifax.
Mm-hmm.
So whenever you're going in and you're auditing the bank and you're getting, your funding sequence and credit stacking, et cetera,
mm-hmm.
you want to make sure that you ask these questions to understand, does this particular institution fit you in your funding journey. Mm. Because if your Equifax is not strong, you shouldn't be trying to get a business line of credit from PNC. Mm. And then sometimes you'll be asking the relationship manager these questions and they won't even know. So with us, and we have access to a lot of, you know, data points, a lot of good information from our funding clients, is we gather all of this information. That's how we're able to literally put it out into the world for other people to know.
You have had situations where you sat down with funding managers who didn't know, like a lot
Listen,
of
man, a lot of
really
me and my mentees, we were going to bank and run circles around majority of these relationship managers. And it's no shade to them, but we study the funding, we study banking in a different sector.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said when we first came out, like we're looking at CAMA's rating, we're looking at the asset growth year over year. Mm-hmm. Why did your deposits decrease 3.5% over the past 90 days?
Mm.
Like what happened? What's going on internally that the average business owner, entrepreneur doesn't see?
Mm-hmm.
What's going on internally? So we asking questions like that, and they're like, wait, hold on, like, where did you get access to this information?
We have them sitting up in their seat like, all right, hold on, he knows a little bit, something.
Exactly.
Gotcha.
We go in there, they asking us, do you have a history in banking? We're like, no, we just study it a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Because at the end of the day, this is serious, because
right.
we're trying to increase our family's purchasing power,
yeah.
an average of $400,000 each year.
Talk a little bit about as well, we talked about banks that have different funding products that pull from different credit reporting agencies. You slightly touched on it earlier on. A lot of people know about credit scores and FICO scores.
Mm-hmm.
You and I know that all FICO scores are not created equal, because you have FICO 10, you got FICO 10T, you got FICO 8, 9. Talk about the different banks that have different FICO scoring models that they're looking at when it comes time for you to go and apply for certain funding.
Listen,
products as
bro,
well.
You get me in my bag.
Let's go. Let's go.
I love it. So whenever you go and you pull up, you go on Experian,
yeah,
primarily FICO-based, you got different versions of your FICO score.
Right.
Mortgages are going to use like your FICO 5. Credit cards are going to use FICO 3, FICO 8. Sometimes they may use FICO 5 or they may use FICO 2. Whenever you go and apply for a product, mm. which I always tell mentees, clients, let's do a test run. We're going to freeze our bureaus,
yeah,
and we're going to apply for a product that mm-hmm. we want to intend to go for. From there, you're going to see what bureau that they pull on top of what they're going to tell you, hey, based on your FICO 8.
Mm-hmm.
And then you know if your FICO 8 is not as high as other ones, you may need to go to a different institution. It may pull a FICO 3, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
So it's different weighted averages inside of these FICO scores. Because most people look on Credit Karma. Credit Karma is not accurate. They're using Vantage scores.
Come on now.
No bank that you go to is going to use a Vantage score to fund you.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is primarily based off FICO score. So whenever you go in and you start auditing your credit report, because it's not just auditing the bank.
Mm-hmm.
We need to audit our own credit reports as well. Don't just put anything on there.
Right.
Don't put a whole bunch of tier 3 accounts, a whole bunch of, you know, upgrades, just different tier credit products. You don't want to add too many of those, because now the underwriter is going to look at you differently.
Mm-hmm.
So the, you know, the breakdown of the FICO score is very, very important, simply because each institution may use a different FICO based on the product that you're going after.
Is there any reason why, for the viewers that are watching and the people that are listening, different banks, like, why isn't it that all banks and all financial institutions are all using the same exact level of FICO? You said, like, you know, like you just said, there are certain funding products where they're using FICO 3.
Mm-hmm.
We're up to like FICO 10T right now,
mm-hmm.
right, and beyond.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any specific reason for that? Why, like, all the playing field isn't level to where every bank and every funding product is only specifically using this FICO?
Because it can be manipulated if that was the case.
Okay, interesting. Explain that.
Just like we know how to clean credit. And do different, you can go and add some accounts on there, et cetera. So each one of the FICOs are weighted. It's like a weighted average of a multitude of things.
Got it.
So what's your credit mix looking like? What's the, you know, if you never had a credit card before, and you had auto loans, you've had mortgages, you had different things, your FICO 5 is going to be a lot higher than your FICO 8.
Yeah.
Because the FICO 8 is primarily based off of credit card lending, such as, you know, revolving lines, et cetera.
Gotcha. You talked just now about underwriters. One other thing that I've heard you talk about as well, and just breaking down this funding game, we understand the importance of having a funding sequence so that we can go to different banks that pull from different credit reporting agencies. If I'm not mistaken, one of the things I've heard you say is that you also want to be careful in going to different banks, because you could have a situation where you go to different banks that all have the same underwriter that mm-hmm. can also affect your funding process. When I heard that, I said, wait, hold on. there is levels when it comes to getting access to capital. Can you break that down for us?
That's a great question. And a lot of people look over that.
Right.
Simply because they think because, oh, this bank pulls from TransUnion. Yeah. This bank pulled from Equifax. This bank pulled from Experian.
Yeah.
You think you're going to a whole bunch of different banks, but if they do third-party underwriting, which is another question in your bank audit that you must ask, what type of underwriting do you use?
Yeah.
Third-party or is it in-house?
Mm.
If it's third-party, it could be from ICBA, Independent Community Banks of America. If you're going to community banks, if you're going to a lot of the large credit unions, you're going to have TCM, Total Cards Management, or you're going to have Eline Financial.
Mm-hmm.
So you could be going to a whole bunch of different banks, and if the underwriter is the same,
it's almost like you're going to the same
it's
bank.
It's almost like you're going to the That's same crazy. Bank because they're underwriting the products.
So how is it that we find out? Is there a way for us to find out which? Oh, well, like you said, you're asking the question of seeing like, okay, are you doing in-house underwriting or are you doing third party? So that means if the bank tells us that they're doing third party underwriting, that's probably a bank that it's not that we want to rule it out, but we probably want to be a little bit more careful about how we move forward with that bank.
Especially if some of the viewers have went through credit repair and they had, let's just say, you know, a credit union that they, you know, had financial hardship. They weren't able to pay it off and they went through repair services and they got it wiped from their credit, right? Legally, consumer law, however, they got it removed. Internally, if you went to an Eline Financial institution and got that removed, they're still holding on to this information. So whenever you go back to another Eline Financial credit union or bank, et cetera, and you try to go for funding with them, they got this in a vault. Oh, I remember. I remember when Marvin spun the block the first time. Right. Somehow, it's not on his credit no more.
Right.
We gave him a $40,000 credit card, and you know, like, wait, how is his credit score 850? So now, each institution that you go to that's underwritten by this Eline, TCM, ICBA, etc., is going to be in that system.
The biggest risk that most entrepreneurs take is trying to build a successful business without funding. But that risk is a reality for one out of every three entrepreneurs because their personal credit isn't where it needs to be in order for them to access that capital. Now, the truth is you can close the gap between where your business is versus where you want it to be by leveraging business credit, but if your personal credit report is poor, 99% of banks and lenders are going to deny you from doing so. And I should know, because a couple of years ago, I leveraged my personal credit report to get funding from Chase to start my company. And now that very same company, Takeoff Financial, is serving entrepreneurs just like you that are looking to restore their credit to get access to 5 to 6 figures in funding. So if you want to go from risk to reward, click the link above or below this video to schedule your free consultation so that we can restore your credit and put you in position to access capital to build the business of your dreams.
This is getting spicy. This is getting very, very spicy. Let's talk about CLI.
Come on now.
So you've talked about this. Most people don't know about this. Why, if we're business owners looking to go out and get some funding, understanding credit limit increase rules. First off, what is that? And why is it important to us going through this relationship sequence process?
Credit limit increase rules are essentially how often and the amounts that you're able to get it increased from.
Okay.
Navy Federal, every 6 months, you can get an $8,000 increase. Once you reach $50,000 on the cash rewards or their other, tier one credit cards, what's going to happen is you got to go up to a flagship. So each institution are going to have these rules placed in 90 days, 6 months, yearly. How often you're able to get a credit limit increase. On top of that, what's the max amount that I can get on a credit limit increase? Thirdly, is it going to be a hard pull if I ask for a credit limit increase? My personal experience and what I always tell my mentees and clients to do is before you go for a credit limit increase, if it's going to be a hard pull, you're better off going for a brand new product. Once you get the brand new product, you want to reallocate the limit over either from the new one to the old one or old one to new one, whichever one has a 0% APR. So for the people that didn't catch that, you're going to go to American Express, for example. You're going to apply for the Blue Business Plus. 0% interest for 12 months. You use the card, you leverage it, get into an investment, et cetera. Instead of asking for a credit limit increase on this one after the 12 months is up, you go for a brand new product, the Blue Business Cash. This is also 0% interest for 12 months. Now I want to take the limit from the old card. It's not 0% interest. Roll transfer over. Now I just doubled my limit, 0% APR. for an additional 12 months. So you got one product that you turn into 24 months at 0% interest.
And I know Amex is a really great lender that we could do this with. Are there any other banks that, from your personal experience, that we could also run this, use this strategy for, or is Amex really the best go-to?
Amex is the best go-to simply because it has a lot of different products. And then you this is what I mean whenever I say you got to audit the bank, because you got to know how they operate. If you go for a Amazon card for American Express, it's not 0% APR.
Yeah.
They're going to give you $25,000, $30,000. They're banking on you getting this credit card, not paying the balance off in full, and then you're going to pay interest on this, right? Go get a few of those co-branded credit cards underwritten by American Express, and then you go and get the Blue Business Plus or Blue Business Cash, because you know they're going to give you a higher limit.
Yeah.
You just transfer over to the 0% APR card, and you just combine the limits. Chase allows you to do it. Bank of America allows you to do it. Discover allows you to do it, but you have to at least have both cards open for at least 6 months. So that's why I always say ask about the reallocation rules, ask about credit limit increase rules. And just to be notable, majority of the institutions won't allow you to go business over to personal.
Say that again.
Most of the institutions won't allow you to reallocate business limits over to your personal side, but they will allow you to do from one business to another business or from personal to business.
Gotcha. Interesting. You talked earlier about the conversations that you've had and sitting down with these funding managers and how you and a lot of your students, a lot of your mentees, find yourself at times running circles around them. And you also talked about MLE, max lending exposure. Talk a little bit more about what exactly that is and what that, what the conversation around max lending exposure looks like when we're sitting down with these funding managers.
Bro, this is, you got me in my bag today. I love this. I love this talk, seriously. So max lending exposure, I'm like a kid in the candy store, bro. I'm not even gonna lie to you. Y'all got me, y'all see me right here excited. But max lending exposure is what's the max amount that you can get per Social Security number, per EIN.
Okay.
Because you can go to a Chase, you can go to American Express. They don't necessarily have a max lending exposure, but you may get to $150,000, and then they have to put a UCC-1 on your business.
What is a UCC-1? What is that?
It's essentially where they put a lien, sort of say, on your business or to let other institutions know that they just lended you the money.
Gotcha.
Banks want to be in first or second place. No bank wants to be in third place. Whenever I say first, second, or third places, you have a mortgage or you have rent. You're going to pay that first because you need somewhere to stay.
Yeah.
You have any other outstanding balances such as a car note, et cetera, depending on where you live. You know, in New York, they're not really looking. Yeah, it's different. But if an institution come and then you got $150,000 from Chase, they put a UCC-1 on your business, they're like, I'm kind of like in third place right now. So I'm kind of hesitant on lending you this. And, you know, you can limit the amounts that you're able to get funded from other institutions. So you want to know the max lending exposure. And also inside of that max lending exposure, you want to know at what point do you put a UCC-1 on my business to let other, because in business funding, they don't really know how much access to capital that we have. That's how I was able to run up $1.5 million in less than 24 months, because I understood where they pulled from, whatever was going to be reporting to, and then they can't see this. That's the beauty of business credit.
I love it. Bank churning. This is also a term that I've learned from you as well. A lot of people don't know about this, what the strategy is, but how you could actually use it to actually create additional revenue for yourself as well. What exactly is bank churning and how can we start using it?
Listen, man, this is good. This is good, bro. I love the research, bro, because you got in every topic that I love to talk about, bro.
Yes, sir.
Bank churning is essentially whenever we're going out and building relationships with different banks, they're going to incentivize us for opening an account with them and funding it. They love taking on
new clients. When you open an account and this much time you put this much money, we'll give you this much cash back, or
and
whatever.
That's what you do. So that's like a cherry on top. So while you're building with these institutions, also go and see what type of, you know, specialty promo do they have going on. Hey, if you put $300 and use your debit card 10 times within 60 days, we'll give you $200. All they're doing is taking the money from us, lending it out, charging a spread, and giving us a little bit of that. But they have a lot of people do it. You know, they charge them interest, et cetera. So you can make tens of thousands of dollars every single year by doing this. Just imagine in your 3-5-90 sequence, you hit a few of those banks who's giving you $500 to put $10,000 in an account.
Yeah.
It's not even our money that we're using anyway, because we have access to business credit.
Yes, sir.
Since I know we talking high level, I can get comfortable now.
Yeah.
We already have access to business credit, so all we're doing is liquidating the money off of a business credit card, not our capital.
Yes, sir.
And then we're using it to go and build other banking relationships. In the midst of that, we're going to get incentivized for opening up a business checking or a personal checking account with you by depositing money from Chase to put into BOA, depositing money from Wells Fargo to put in PNC. I'm just using one bank's money to leverage it to build a relationship. You're going to incentivize me for opening up a checking account with you. And after 90 days, you're going to give me access to at least $10,000. Because we're going to fund the account at least $10,000. Yep. You're going to give me access to at least $10,000. And that's just assuming that you only have one product. What about the banks that we could double pull from or triple pull from?
So essentially, we're taking the bank's money.
Correct.
Using it to open accounts with other banks, putting that money in the bank so that we can get that bonus, and then rolling that same money over from account to account to account. And then from there, we're reaping the bonuses. So we're pretty much getting paid without using any of our own money.
Correct.
Simply just leveraging the bank's money while we're strategically building relationships with these banks and putting us in position later on down the line to get even more funding and more money from the banks. So we're just wash, rinsing, and repeating over and over and over again. Father God, I might break this mic, ladies and gentlemen. I might break this mic. So if I sat through this entire episode, right, we talked bank churning, we talked MLE, CLI, we talked about early warning. Like, this conversation has been very, very high level. This was not simply just go to this bank. If you had to give the audience a funding sequence that follows a lot of the strategies and the guidelines that we broke down here, to whether it's to get access to 1.5 or 1 million or 750, what would that funding sequence be? Could you break that down for us?
So it's going to depend on the bureau, of course.
Yeah.
But how are you going to maximize your funding sequence? Because it's 2,300 credit unions, 4,600 banks.
Yeah.
Some of the banks that we'll talk about on here, by the time the episode come out, the play may be gone.
1,000%.
You know what I'm saying? So I would recommend that you looking at different community banks around you, regional banks around you, and seeing if they have multiple products, asking that max exposure, which we talked about.
Yeah.
And if you know they have at least 3 or 4 credit cards, you could possibly get out 3 or 4 of those credit cards. Mm. On top of that, you want to know, what's your application rules? So I would rather tell you the questions to ask versus telling you where to go, because if you can ask the right questions, you'll always end up in the right room.
You just said something. When you say application rules, what do you mean by that?
Application rules are how many products are you able to get approved for and what time frame. So Bank of America, 2-3-4 rule. Bank of America will allow you to get 2 credit cards for every 60 days, 3 credit cards for every 12 months, 4 credit cards for every 24 months. So basically, each institution are going to have certain rules. American Express, they used to have it to where you could go and get 5 credit cards in one day.
Yeah. Yep.
They since patched that.
Okay.
So application rules are, you just ask them, hey, if I go and you pull my credit one time, how many products can I get access to? Service credit union. You can go, they pull your personal credit. You can go and get a personal credit card, a personal line of credit, a personal loan, and an auto loan. You only need to pull your credit one time. So each institution is going to have a different set of application rules, and you must ask these managers about those.
So that's almost the same thing as when you hear people talk about like Chase 524. Is 524 would be considered another application rule as
Yes,
well?
No more than 5 new accounts on the personal side over the past 24 months.
Ladies and gentlemen, Dub, this is the second time we done sat down. We may have to do a part 3, 4, and 5 because it's really levels to this funding game.
We need to turn into a series, bro.
We might as well just have to turn this into a high level funding strategy series. Like, come on. Look at Josh not in the back. this isn't even his bread and butter. If he's not in, we did something good. We did something fantastic, my brother. Listen, I appreciate you immensely for coming on here, and I want you to know you're gonna get some DMs after this, because you done gave away somebody's $5,000 mentorship on this podcast.
Listen, that's what I tell you to say your grace before you come, because we're going to eat.
Listen, man, this was powerful for me, and I know it was powerful for everyone that's watching. For those who want to stay tapped in and wrapped in, not just with you, but what you have going on as well. I know we talked about your mentorship group, but let the people know where they can find you, but more importantly, how they can get in touch with what you have going on and really continue to take their funding game, to the next level.
At Dub Washington on all social media platforms. If you go on there, it's a wealth of knowledge on there. It's a wealth of knowledge. Some people say, I give $1 million worth of game away on there.
Amen.
So you go follow me. That's all you need to do.
Just I'm not here
to sell. I don't need to sell anything. I don't want to pitch you anything. Just go follow me at Dub Washington. See what you like.
Yes, sir.
Get that sample.
Mm-hmm.
Say your grace and come back.
Listen, man, my brother, I appreciate you for coming on. And listen, but more importantly, I appreciate each and every single one of you guys. Y'all, if you haven't already, what are you doing? Take a second, take a minute, take an hour out of your day right here, right now, to go ahead, slap the like button, show this episode some love. Follow my guy Dub at Dub Washington on Instagram and say your grace, because you already know everybody eats. But as always, ladies and gentlemen, my name is Marvin Francois. That's Dub Washington. You guys have been good. We've been great. This has been amazing. And as always, thank you and God bless. Peace, family.